welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Awesome. Well, it's great to see you. Hello. How are you? We've missed you. Oh.
I love it.
Oh, that's enough. Brilliant. If you're here for the first time, you're really welcome. My name is Jonathan, and I have the tremendous privilege of being the congregational leader here, which I really have no idea what that means. It's kind of fun. Sorry, who said that? Vicar. So you're a legend, mate. I'll let your ties down. I really have no idea. All I know is that we meet here on Sundays, and not because we believe in Sundays, but we do believe in Jesus. And for some reason, he set apart time for us to meet, to praise, to worship, to experience the reality of Jesus. So it's not about coming to a church. You are the church, the Bible says. It's not about coming to a building. As you can see, the building's a theatre. And hello, mate. Cool. We're having a competition to see how...
Josh, did you do that?
You need to get your beard trimmed. Is your face hot? I thought it might be. I'll sort you out later. Judy, you're right up there. Judy's doing an awesome job. Amen. She's amazing. She's amazing. So here in Kingdom Faith, we don't really put in a massive amount of focus so much on Sundays, but in the God of Sundays. Because we also know he's the God of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And yesterday, as Richie was saying, we had a tremendous just experience. And I think that would be a fair word to say, which describes what happened when God comes on a piece of grass, which was where the first test match in the whole of this country was played. It's a pity that we don't play as well now. Fortunately, our Australian isn't here. He's in Poland. So I'm going to Facebook him and make some comment. But Shane's not here, he'll be here next week. But it was just amazing yesterday how when the people of God, and I don't know how many of us there were about 6,000 people that came between 10 and 4. All I know is there was enough of... Hello, mate. Anybody else want to come in? Fred, do you want to come past? Anybody else? You sure? Excellent. I can't quite see you. Your shirt makes you disappear into the railings. Looks like you've got nothing on. I'm sure you have. Sorry, what? That's it. Go and sit down. That's it. Behave yourself. Sorry, he's like that all the time. So yesterday, it was just incredible. When I had some opportunity to leave our venue, there were three people in that venue that experienced the reality that Jesus heals today. It's still a little bit boomy. Is that all right? Cool. There were three people who came in with a physical need, a condition. Two of them I know have been to the doctors. One was in a wheelchair. And three of them experienced the reality that Jesus heals today. I think that's pretty amazing. Who'd have thought it? On a cricket pitch. Four people experienced the reality that Jesus can take anybody's life whatsoever, however it's been, whatever it's done, whatever it's looked like or smelt like, Jesus can take any life like that and come and invade it with his goodness and change it eternally. Four people yesterday gave their lives to Jesus for the very first time, which means that their destiny is changed, their future is secure, their hope is a sure one, it's in someone, not on something. Who would have thought that that can happen on a cricket pitch? I think it's amazing. We need miracles for our England cricket, I think. Fraser, is that right? You're at the cricket, aren't you? Is that why you support Chelsea? Okay. But we need the miracles of God. We need the God of miracles. How many of you in your world and in your life, when you look out tomorrow, let's say, part of you is saying, something just needs to change in my life. How many of you are like that? Sue, first hand up, mate. How many of you are honest enough to say, I just need something to happen. I just need something exciting to happen. If your hand's not up, it either doesn't work or you're dead. One or the other. Just going to look at a couple of bits in the Bible, because I found when I, before I became a Christian, I used to love sex, drugs and rock and roll. Not necessarily in that order, but kind of some of those. And then somebody told me all of that is in the Bible. It's like, really? Isn't the Bible for people who are certain, they look a certain kind of look and they talk a certain kind of talk? None of them look like Richard. He's amazing, this bloke. Your face almost is the same colour as your jumper. It's amazing, mate. But people told me, well, if you want to really find out how to live on the edge and how to be on the front of life, read the Bible. Like, yeah, really? It didn't really appeal to me whatsoever, but I kind of tried it out. I snuck in and found, I think, my wife's Bible, because she was reading it. I wasn't. I was chucking them. And suddenly, I found one piece of the Bible, which I'm going to look at in a moment. And if you're in the Bible school, we have a Bible school as part of the church, which is brilliant. Judy, you almost clapped then, but you didn't. Why didn't you? I don't offend easily. I work in the Bible school. We have a Bible school, which is brilliant. This year we've had about 49 students, extremely good-looking people, mostly. Extremely talented people, entirely. Extremely willing people, absolutely. But actually for today, it's a bit of a sad moment for us here in Worthing and in Crawley and in Horsham. For many of the students, this is their last Sunday with us. That was nowhere near enough R. It's their last Sunday. Get a bit more, we'll take an offering up for you. No, it's okay. Because as they've sown and as they've given since October last year, we allocate them across all three locations, this one, one in Horsham and one in Crawley, so that they can just be experienced life of church in a multi-site setting. But for most of them, today will be their last Sunday, because tomorrow, or from tomorrow, as Richard was explaining about Faith Camp, although the first service is next Saturday evening, the first team actually go up in about 2 hours' time. And then they go up every day for the next 5-6 days. So that on Friday, there's about 450 volunteers to help make Faith Camp work. And the Bible School is really very much part of that. So can all of the current Bible School students stand up for me? I don't know why they're all hiding at the back. But anyway, we just want to say that we really have loved you. We've really appreciated your spirit, your attitude, your great heart, your contribution. We just appreciate that you have grown. We've loved you. We appreciate you. But the wonderful thing about, there's two wonderful things about students, right? And I've told them this already. The first one is that you get to get rid of them. And I say that in the nicest possible way, because actually the Bible school was not made to have mature students who just come every year, every year, every year. That's not what it's about. It's a launch pad. It's a platform for them to be greater in the future than they ever could have been in the past. So I love getting rid of students. It's just true, okay? I've been there long enough. But the second thing that I found as a reality is that they never leave. Physically, they may move, but actually in their spirit and in their experiences of God, it never changes. And the Bible school for the last 27 years it has been running, every year has people who just come back. Why? Because in their time of the college, something happened to them which was unique, very special, very significant. So we just want to say thank you so much to the Lord and to you that we have been part of your 10-month journey and seen you grow, seen you face up to the realities of living for Jesus and living for others, because there is a cost to that. We thank you that you even become pregnant. Okay, that's only for married people, right? So don't get the wrong idea. So we just want to pray for you. So if you're near some of these people standing up, then you're blessed. But just kind of reach out towards them, and we want to pray for them. You can sit and, or stand or do this, whatever you want to do. But I just love it. If it's okay, as a congregation, we can just pray for you. Father, we just want to lift up these men and women to you and just say that we honor them. We thank you for them. We thank you for the gift that they are, for the spirit that they carry. We thank you for the faith that they display. We thank you for the love that they communicate through action. Father, we just thank you that you mark them out as men and women of tremendous integrity. You mark them out as men and women who carry the glory in the presence of God. We ask that you mark them out in their future to be people of breakthrough, people who you use to bring godly change into this environment. We just pray for everyone that you continue to meet with them, speak with them, use them for your glory and for the blessing of people. We just lift them up and say we thank God so much for them, because without them we would not be who we are. And as we sow these people into the future, we want to reap back in the future as well an increased number of willing students for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So again, I was just kind of sharing that when I dipped into the Bible, there I kind of found this piece of scripture. Some of you may be familiar with it. If you haven't got a Bible, it's fine. Should we just turn all the mics off? Is that easier? I don't mind. I can shout. Who said yes? Cheeky monkey. You okay up there? It might be coming through the fold back, is it? Might be. Turn aux off one and two. See if that makes any difference. So the piece of the Bible I'm going to look at is in a guy called Luke, who was a doctor. He was quite clinical. He was quite analytical in the way that he thought. Therefore, his gospel is quite precise. There's lots of people getting healed in his gospel. Because when there was sickness around, being a doctor, it challenged his heart. But he began to experience healing beyond his natural ability. He began to experience, through the ministry, the life of Jesus, people getting healed beyond his own medical experience. And this is why I love the Gospel of Luke. You may have a preference, but this one is mine. Somebody wants to answer that phone or get a curry or order pizza. That'd be awesome. Hey, Liz. Anybody listening on the recording, it's Liz Rose. Our phone is on. It's amazing. She's ordered a takeaway. At the end of the message, I'll give you our number. So if you're listening online afterwards, you can ring it yourself. Liz, I love you. This is in Luke chapter 12. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses. They will come up, say, on the screen behind me if you haven't got your Bible. And I just want to comment on one which has been core to my life, and I believe core to what God wants to help us with this morning. It says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and don't worry about it. Now, this for me was an issue, because I always worried about what I was going to eat or drink. When is the next one coming? For the pagan world runs after all such things. That pagan word is kind of a funny word. It means pagan. That's what it means. It means someone who doesn't worship a god. It worships many gods. Your father knows that you need them. Say the word father to me. Now, I'm guessing that we've all had a father. We may not have them now. We may not necessarily know who they are. I have no idea, but we have all had a father. My dad was brilliant. He was great. He was a good dad. He wasn't always there, but then maybe that's true for most of us. Maybe we'd all say our dads weren't always there. But I couldn't work out why this word father had a big fa at the front of it. Not a little fa. And it gave me to think, well, actually, maybe there's another father then that is greater than the one I know. Hopefully he's got a big F behind me. Otherwise, yes, it has. That's all right then. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. So here's the first clue about successful life, is there is something beyond what we have now, and if we look for it, we will find it. And then here's the scripture that really spoke into my heart over 20 years ago now. It says this, do not be afraid. Can I just suggest that for most of us, there are some things in our world, even now, that we're probably a bit fearful of? Usually, fear is is a unresolved, or it's an unquantifiable thought pattern. I wonder what will happen if. I wonder what will happen if Greece leaves the euro. I wonder what will happen if ISA arrive in Worthing. I wonder. So mostly fear is intangible thought. I wonder what will happen if there's a spider in the bathroom. Colin, what are you going to do, run? Okay. So fear isn't actually real, it just feels real. Fear is false expectations appearing real. F-E-A-R. You can tweet that one if you do that, or Facebook it, or just write it down. But what the Bible says here is don't be afraid. And I suddenly realized in my heart, and I just want us to realize this morning, that there is absolutely nothing in this world, or whatever your world you perceive is coming after this one, there's absolutely nothing that you need to be afraid of. Nothing. Zip. Nicked. Nothing. Why? Because it goes on and says, little flock. Now, I don't know about you. We live in a part of the countryside where next to us is a little flock. There's not many sheep. They've just come through lambing a couple of months ago. I think they're tailing them at the minute, but it's little. But these guys, man, they're feisty when they get together. Because what they've kind of realized is that one little sheep, one little lamb on their own, okay, they can be a little bit picked off, they can be a little bit vulnerable, but when you begin to move as a flock, when you begin to move together, and sometimes they just run around the field like a flock of birds. Have you ever seen sheep? Do you know what I'm talking about? I know you're all from Worthing, but you have got sheep here, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Sheep. It's what I perceived here is that as a sole sheep, as a lonely sheep on my own, man, I can feel a little bit vulnerable. I can really try not to be afraid. But when I begin to move as a flock, man, we can take on all kinds of things. That's called church. That's called being in the body of Christ. Because it's not about the size of the flock. It's about the size of the Father. It's not about the size of the sheep. We don't have to be on hormone stimulus to be big sheep. We just need to follow a big shepherd. For your Father has been, past tense, pleased. I just want to remind us all this morning, but the Father is pleased to give us stuff. He doesn't moan, groan, negotiate. He's just really pleased. I'm pleased when you come together as a flock, not for the sake of the flock, but for the sake of the shepherd. I'm really pleased when you come together with all kinds of bits and scratches and this and that. How many of you know Psalm 23? How many of you either learnt that when you were a little nipper or... Mate, there's a really interesting bit in Psalm 23. And I don't know how often we get this. Is that your rod and your... Do you know what they did? Those two implements. Do you know what they did? Would you like to know what they did? Please say yes, otherwise it's going to be a really short message. Okay, in those days, they didn't have dipping. They had backcombing. Backcombing. It was an echo. It's like backcombing. Echo. So when the sheep came in and out of the pens, usually at night time, so that they didn't bring an infection in there, nits or all kinds of sheepisms, is a good shepherd would put the rod hard down on the back of every sheep. And they passed under the rod and it backcombed their fleece. Why? Because that's where ticks start first. That's where sheepisms start first. So actually for a sheep, they loved it. It was a bit irritable at the time, but the sheep in the pen knew when a sheep was in there, it was clean. The staff was to defend against lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Wizard of Oz. You need to get out more. So the rod was there to protect the flock. But at the time of use, it was a bit uncomfortable. How many of you have tried? I don't have that issue anymore. How many of you have tried backcombing your hair? That's too loud. How many of you have just tried? You know, okay, let's get a bit more real here. Sorry if this offends anybody. How many of you have had children have had nits in? Right, okay. So you have to backcomb it. At the time, it's uncomfortable. At the time, there's an embarrassment around it. At the time, there's a little bit of, isn't there? Because you're embarrassed. Let me tell you, when we know the Father who's pleased to use the rod to bring us out of disease, out of pain, out of discomfort, the rod comforts me. It might be uncomfortable at the time, but it's for my good. It might be painful at the time, but it's for the good of the flock. I believe the rod that God uses is the same purpose that this story in Psalm 23 talks about. It's to bring healing and cleansing, liberty, freedom. At the time, we might think, oh, that's a bit difficult. But that's why Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, little flock, because my Father has been pleased to give you a kingdom. But how do we live in this kingdom? Within the setting of the body of Christ, usually by when we fall out, how do we get right with one another again? When we have an offense, how do we sort it out so that we don't become an offender? When we have an issue with someone, how do we resolve the issue rather than carry it with a sense of, I'm right and they're wrong? We've got to come under the rod. Are you getting this? We've got to come under the rod of the shepherd. But it's not you or me holding the rod. It's the shepherd holding the rod. Can I just suggest this to you? Is the bigger we get, the more fleecy we get, sometimes the harder it can be when the rod is applied. Man, because the shepherd wants to get right in there. Not just at the superficiality of, that's a nice fleece, it's all soft and gentle. Yeah, but what's happening at the skin level? What's happening at surface level? And I believe that God has translated Luke 12 into a little flock, into we're a bigger flock. It's called the church. It's called the body of Christ. But there are some things that we can pull out of this. The first one I've mentioned. Look for something that you know is there in God, but you can't touch it yet. Seek first. Can I just suggest this? There are two realities to the sheep. To us. These will look different for different sheep, but they are two realities. The first one is this. Everybody in this room does what they want. Second one is everybody in this room does what they're told. Question is, what do we want? And who's telling us? Everybody. The sheep was made to do what the Father wants, and the sheep was made to do what the shepherd says. So all of us do what we want, and all of us do what we're told. But can I just suggest that what this is saying is God wants us to listen to the voice that deals with fear, deals with intimidation. This is what goes on in other parts of the Bible. This is where it can get a bit odd and people go a little bit left field for me, is the sheep will lay down with the lion. Absolutely, because there's no difference between a sheep and a lion if you're following the shepherd. The sheep stop going, bam, and start going, roar! Oh, I like sheep like that. The sheep stop going, yeah, give me some milk. And so I'm going to feed my family. The sheep stop going, oh, it's irritable. And so I'm here to see God cleanse my street, my neighborhood. The sheep move from being, oh, look at all this fleece I've got. And so I'm going to take it off because they're cold. Again, I don't know whether you can recall the story. I'll just kind of paraphrase it. At the end of another gospel, a bloke called John wrote this one. Peter, who had been with Jesus for a while, he'd made three mistakes. And depending on how you want to translate it, they were put right. It doesn't really matter. What matters is Jesus' heart is to restore. What he said to them was, feed my lambs. Can't feed lambs in the same way you feed sheep. Man, you've got to help lambs get up to the right focus of feed and make sure they're there. If they don't do it on their own, you've got to feed them with the bottom. This flock is for self-feeders. We're not here to be bottle-fed, have our nappy changed, have our noses wiped. We may start there, but God wants us to mature into sheep. Sheep that as a flock serve those sheep that are lost. Those sheep who have no flock. Those sheep who don't know who the shepherd is. That's what I'm seeking. So for me, Sunday is great. Let's all come into this pen. It's called the theatre. But there's some challenges in it. I can't worship God how I want to if I've got an attitude issue. I can't give God the best if I'm holding something back for me. I can't give God really anything if I've got an issue with the person in the next row. Have you got that? So I've got to come under the rod. Okay, God, I'm really sorry. Forgive me. I'll put that right back. Then something else happens. We begin to mature. God wants us to mature. Don't be afraid to mature. But with maturity comes responsibility. So as we kind of recognize the students here, man, they've got far more responsibility now than we could ever give them in October. For most of them, for most college students, they're bigger than they think they are in their own eyes. There are one or two who are smaller than they think they are in their own eyes. But for most of them, they've all come as a big fish in a little pond. And that's probably 95% of our Bible school students. And then suddenly I realize it's good to be a small fish in a massive pond. That's part of God's journey and part of God's learning. But I believe as church, it's the same for us. I don't want to be a big fish in a small pond. I just want to be a little fish in a huge pond. Is this making any sense to you? So let's just remind ourselves of what God is saying to me, what God is saying to us. Do not be afraid. Your world that God wants for you to have is bigger than the one you experience now. Greater, far more of God's life and power flowing through it. But don't be afraid of it, but you've got to seek it. You've got to look for it. God, how can you use me more? God, how can I be more available to you in the future? It doesn't matter where I start. The size of the flock is irrelevant compared with the size of the shepherd. Lord, you lead me, you guide me. You are the shepherd of my life and the shepherd of my soul. So I'm going to put my trust in you. And even when it doesn't seem to work out quite how I hoped, Father, you're pleased to give me another go. Father, you're pleased to give me another start. The Father is pleased to give me a kingdom. We haven't got time now. We've only got a few minutes left to talk about what is the kingdom. But let me tell you what the kingdom is not. The kingdom is not church. The kingdom is not a place. The kingdom is not found on a map. The kingdom is not next to Pluto. The kingdom is where the king is king. The kingdom is where the Lord is Lord. The kingdom is where Jesus has the rule and the reign. The kingdom is not over here or over there, the Bible says. It's within you if you have let Jesus be Lord of your life. The kingdom is not Sundays. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is not a place on the map. It's wherever the king rules and reigns. And what this scripture says is God has been pleased. If you have received Christ as Lord, if you've moved from being, let me just put this, a black sheep of the family to a white sheep of his family, if I can use that expression. If you've moved from being a sheep that just wanders around being picked off by the wolves of the world, or you are a sheep that's given your life to the destiny of the shepherd, then let me tell you, you're part of a flock which is on the increase. You're part of a flock where the best shepherd in the entire world looks after. Yes, there's a rod. Yes, there's a staff. But it's always for the health of the sheep. And the great thing about the shepherd, and you would have seen pictures, if you've been out into the Middle East, you would have seen this, is unlike Western shepherds that now run around on quad bikes, most of them. Let's go back 50 years. In this nation and in most of Western Europe, the shepherd will be driving the sheep. Not Jesus. He leads sheep. He's always in view. He's always within vocal range. He's always within eyesight. He's always within touch. He's always going where he wants the sheep to go, but he's not telling them how to do it. He's showing them how to do it. Jesus is the good shepherd. Let's all stand up, shall we? So do not be afraid, little flock. For my Father has been pleased to give you a kingdom. If you've received Christ, whether you receive Christ today and you're here for the first time, brilliant. If you receive Christ on another day and you're here for the first time, brilliant. If you receive Christ and you're here for the umpteenth time, brilliant. This is true for everybody. So let's just close our eyes together, shall we? Because I don't know what it is that makes false expectations appear real to you. Maybe it's a fear of success. Maybe it's a fear of failure. Maybe it's a fear of sickness. Maybe it's a fear of yesterday. Maybe it's a fear of tomorrow. Maybe it's a fear of your bank balance. Maybe it's a fear that your body's telling you stuff which you don't want to know. All I know is that God breaks the power of fear. Not by telling you, but by coming. You might be fearful in the workplace. You might be fearful in the neighborhood place. You might be even fearful being here right now. I have no idea. All I know is that Jesus breaks fear with his presence. He doesn't come and say, stop that. He says, I'm going to sort that out. Trust me. As we heard earlier on, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So I'm just going to pray, and you can kind of talk to God in your own words, in your own heart, in your own language, whatever you want to do. Father, I want to thank you that you took fear and you broke the power and the influence of it at the cross. I thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love and of peace and of a sound mind. And I thank you that today, you gathered this little flock together to remind us that we don't have to be afraid of anything because you are our Father and you are our shepherd. And I know that even when we're coming through a time of the rod or the staff, I thank you it's for our health and for our well-being. That you send your word and you send your Holy Spirit to bring out all of the stuff that is trying to make us sick and unwell so that we are free sheep. So the flock is very healthy. So the fleece is really shiny. I thank you right now, even as we stand together, you're touching sickness in the sheep. I thank you that you're lifting up right now couple of heavy hearts where there just seems to be a sense of I just don't know what life is about. I thank you that you lift those hearts with your presence, Jesus. You came to bind up the brokenhearted. I thank you where there are just pains. You came to take the pain. I thank you that you came to have whole sheep. Give us the grace to face the rod and the staff. Give us the grace to let you deal with our hearts in whatever way we need to so that we're free. Because I thank you that it was for freedom. It was for freedom. Not that you will come, or you may come, or you could come, but it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Are any free people in the room this morning? Come on. Do you just want to celebrate a bit of freedom? Just celebrate a bit of freedom this morning. Come on, let's just celebrate a bit of freedom this morning. I know our kind of our service time is up for now, but I just feel we just need to pray for anybody. If you just want either Richard, who was leading the service through, or Andrew, who's this good-looking fella over here, or myself, we'd love to agree with you in prayer, whatever that is. What's in my heart is that nobody leaves with any sense of anxiety. In this world, you will have trouble. But do not fear, for I have overcome. It's a fact. So as you're grabbing a tea and a coffee, having a chat, we've got loads of time. If you would like one of us to pray with you, agree with you on anything, then man, we want to send people out here as healthy, fit, lively sheep to go and change the flock that you're in for the glory of God. Is that right? Bless you. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. We'll miss being with you next Sunday. A few of us will be up at Peterborough.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.